This is class number 5, Great Christians of the Past, and our preacher for this week that we're going to hear is a preacher that's been well known around the South. Many years ago, he went home to be the Lord. It's all on your bio sheet that either sent to your correspondence or online. You can see that as well. Tells a little bit about the life of Billy Kelly. Very talented man. Could play the piano and play stringed instruments and sing and preach. And God greatly used Billy Kelly during those years that he is able to minister. Here's part of a message preached by Brother Kelly.
Now, I've had four or five messages on my heart for tonight. And when I do that, I always end up preaching all four of them. Woo! You preachers know what I'm talking about. You let the preacher everything you know, so it won't take me long. You ought to hang on. Amen. If you got your Bible, in the book of Genesis tonight, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and begin reading in verse 14, 15, and through verse 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, and thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I wish Geraldine read that too. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, to study this portion of God's Word tonight, you'll find that the four curses that's mentioned here, notice number one, my friends, that God puts a curse upon the serpent, and he said that the serpent would crawl on his belly all the days of his life on the face of this earth, and that's never changed. Is that right? You've never seen a snake in your life walking around on two legs, four legs. He just don't do such as that. He crawls on his belly. And likewise, the others have not changed. God said that a woman must suffer in childbirth. I didn't say that. God had that to say. And he said that a woman must be obedient unto her husband. And I believe that with all of my heart. And she's the right kind of woman. Then notice, my friends, that a man, the Bible said there's a curse on a man. He must earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. That's the reason I like to sweat a little when I preach. I don't want to get it crooked. Amen. And then notice that God said there is a curse upon this earth. And that's the reason that crabgrass grows better than strawberries. Is that right? There is a curse upon this earth. Now, those curses have never been lifted. They're still as real tonight as when God Almighty spoke these things. But I want you to look tonight, my friends, in this portion of God's Word, and I'd like to bring you a message concerning where'd the devil start? How'd he ever get a start? Where'd he start? And, my friends, not only that, but see the greatest battle that the man's ever known anything about found here in these verses. As we look in the Bible, we'll find that the Godhead is made up of a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You'll find that each member of the Trinity has a specific office work that he carries out. There's God the Father. He's the God of might and power and justice and judgment and sovereignty and other terms, wrath, that could be applied unto God the Father. Then there's God the Holy Spirit. He's the God of wooing, of enticement, of conviction, of introduction. It's the Spirit of God that introduces us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the Savior. He is the God of grace, of adoption, of atonement, and a multitude of other terms that can be applied under the office work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you put them all three together, and they are three in one, is that right? Then we find that we've got a God of might and power and justice and judgment and sovereignty and wrath, wooing, introduction, grace, adoption, atonement, and a multitude of other terms that can be applied under the office work of God Jehovah. Now, I'm glad, my friends, tonight, that when I look at this, he said, I am God, and beside me there is none else. Aren't you glad for that tonight. My, the heathen in Africa takes a little piece of wood and he whittles out the image of a god and bows down and worships that. Here's another heathen. He takes a rock, a hammer, and a chisel, and he chisels out the image of a little god and bows down and worships that. But I want to report to you tonight, I'm preaching about a god that made the wood that the heathen whittled his god out of. Amen. I'm preaching about a god tonight that made the stone that the heathen, my friends, chiseled his god out of. In fact, if you want to get technical, he made the hammer, he made the chisel, and he made the chiseler. Amen. Why, the Bible said all things is made by him, and without him was not anything made. Everything you see, things that are visible and things that are invisible, everything was made by him. Now, when I was going to school a few years ago, I had a teacher to tell me that we sprang from monkeys. And when I looked at her, it was hard to argue with her. Amen. Yes, sir. I want to tell you, my friends, God made the fowls of the air. God made the beasts of the fields. I'll tell you, if I believed in evolution, I'd have a lot of problems tonight. I'd say first there was a tadpole with a tail long and slim, and then there's a monkey, a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, and then there's a monkey hanging by my tail in a tree, and now I'm a doctor with a PhD. That's what I tell if I believed in evolution. But I want to tell you, whoever heard of a cigarette-sucking monkey? Who ever heard of a cud-chewing monkey? Who ever heard of a monkey drinking Old Crow on Saturday and puking like a buzzard on Sunday? You never heard of that in your life. Who ever heard of a homosexual monkey? You ain't never heard of no such as that. No, sir. Nothing does such those things as that except a low-down human being. Is that right? And so, dear soul, we find that God has made it all. It was God that walked out on the edge of nothing and flung into space everything you see and the things you can't see. It was God that laid the mud seals of this earth, crisscrossed this earth with silver streams, and put out every flower garden. It was God that said he liked what he made. Amen. And so, my friends, there is the Godhead, which consists of a Trinity. Now, let's go a little further. There are other beings than heaven. Yes, there are. There are cherubim, seraphims, and angels. In a close study of the Word of God, you'll find that the cherubims do like work as unto God the Father. The seraphims do like work as under the whole Holy Spirit of God, and the angels do like work as under the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said he was lifted up in a vision and he saw the train of the Lord, and he said, I saw the seraphims. He said they had six wings. With two wings they covered their feet, two wings they covered their face, and he said with two wings they flew, and they cried, holy, holy, holy God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God omnipotent. And so, my friends, tonight, we look here in this text. There's other beings. The angels do like work as unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we talk, brethren, about when we get to heaven, we're going to see mother and we're going to see daddy, and that's wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. I've got loved ones and friends that's already outstripping in the race tonight, and I'm longing for that day when I'll see them face to face. But I'll tell you, there's somebody I want to look up one of these mornings. I want to find that guardian angel that took care of me through all these years. Amen. I want to shake his hand about a million years, and we're going to soak our feet in the river of life and shout another million or two. Thank God for that guardian angel that's taking care of me. Now, I was going to Carson Newman College a few years ago. There's an outstanding fellow on the campus. He is back from the war. He was a celebrated hero. One of the ships had been sunk at sea, and he was the only survivor, I believe it was, on that ship. And so he came to Carson Newman College, and he is preaching the Word of God. Boy, he could really preach too. And of course, getting money from the service, he'd saved up money, and then he got a pension and so on and so forth from being wounded and all that. Why, he was able to purchase a new automobile. He had him a brand new Studebaker. Boy, he'd drive that thing 75 and 80 miles an hour. Some of the preacher boys went to him and said, listen, you better slow that thing down. You're going to get killed. Oh, he said, good brother, the Lord's with me. Yes, sir, the Lord's with me. One night, coming in from revival meeting. He rounded one of those bends over there in East Tennessee. I'll tell you, friends, he rolled that thing off of the mountain about a quarter of a mile, broke his collarbone and his leg, and I don't know what all, just boogered him up real good. And he was up at the hospital. Some of the preacher boys went by to see him, and one of them finally got up nerve and said, "Thought you said the Lord's with you." "Oh, good brother," he said he was. Till I got up about 80 miles an hour and said he got out of that thing. Amen. Well, here's what I'm trying to say tonight. God Almighty's given us guarding angels to take care of us and to watch over us. Yes, he has. Now, I couldn't stop with that tonight. There are other beings that are in heaven. Listen to me closely now. We find there are, my friends, archangels. One's name is Michael and the other is Gabriel. You'll find that Michael does like work as unto God the Father, and we find that Gabriel does like work as unto the Holy Spirit of God. You remember how that one day the Bible said old Hezekiah got a letter from Sennacherib, and he said, "I'm going to kill you and all of God's people," like the scared old Hezekiah to death. The Bible said Hezekiah went out and he opened up the letter and he laid it on the ground and he bowed down and he began to pray. He said, "Oh God, open your eyes and see, open your ears and hear, and save us from the hands of this ungodly man." You know what happened that night? Well, the Bible said a death angel stepped into that army camp, and when reveille sounded the next morning, there was 185,000 of them as dead as a hammer and had their toes turned up towards the skies like daisies. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Michael had carried out the biddings of God the Father, and the wrath and the judgment and the sovereignty of God Almighty had been carried out. Now, wait a minute. There's another, and his name is Gabriel. He does like work as in the Holy Ghost of God. When Mary was a spouse to Joseph, the Bible said, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Who was it that brought that young virgin girl the message? It was old Gabriel. How did he come to her? With mercy, with comfort, with conviction. She asked a question. I heard a preacher say one time, she was a doubter. No, that's not the kind of question she asked. It's a question of concern. How could these things be, seeing that I have never known a man? And he said, "That which is in you is of the Holy Ghost of God." And so he brought the message to her. Now listen, I've given you God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I have given to you cherubim, seraphims, and angels. But wait a minute. I have only given to you two archangels. One's name is Michael, and the other's Gabriel. One for the Father, one for the Spirit. You say, doesn't Jesus Christ have an archangel? If he doesn't, it'd throw all of heaven out of balance, my friend. Yes, it would. So we look through the Word of God, and we find there's a time when the Lord Jesus had an archangel, and his name was Lucifer. We find that the word Lucifer means bright and morning star. Isn't that a like name as in the Jesus? He's the bright and the morning star. Notice that Lucifer is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Jesus is the light of the world. We notice, my friends, that Lucifer is called the prince of the air. Jesus is also a prince, but he's the prince of peace. We find that old Lucifer's called the lion. He goes about as a lion. Jesus is also called a lion. He's called the Lion of Judah. Do you see the likeness? Notice, my friends, that Lucifer was the most beautiful being in heaven. Yes, he was, outside of the Godhead. I'll tell you, Jesus, none like him. The first among 10,000, the Rose of Sharon, the bright in the morning star. And so, my friends, we find there's a time when Christ had an archangel. Now, notice what happened. God said, "I'm going to make a world. I'm going to frame a world. I'm going to make it all." Then God said, "I'm going to make a man. I'm going to breathe in his nostrils the breath of life, and he'll become a living soul." God said, "If a man becomes a living soul, he's going to sin against me." Then God said, "When he sins against me, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die for the remission of sins. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God said, "Whosoever shall be saved, then I'm going to make him higher than the angels." And Lucifer rose up and says, "Above me," and God said, "Above you." And that's when it happened. He said, "I will ascend above the throne of God. Now notice, my friends, the moment he said, I will, he's no longer in the will of God the Father, God Jehovah, but he becomes a self-created being. And any time that you use that language, it's dangerous business. Did you know the Word of God teaches us not to say, I'll do this or I'll do the other? It said, the Lord willing will do a certain thing. The Lord willing will go to a certain place. The Lord willing will do these things. And so he said, I will. I ascend above the throne of God. I'll kick God out of heaven. I'll take over. Well, you know, well know the story, how that God kicked old Lucifer and all his believers out. And now then, Lucifer is the prince of the air, going about. The air's contaminated. The earth's contaminated. Everything's contaminated, sure, because of old Lucifer being the prince of the air. Now then, what happened? One day we find, my friends, that God makes a man and breathes in nostrils the breath of life and becomes a living soul. Now then we find that Adam and Eve was there in the garden, and the Bible tells how that God took a rib from Adam and made this woman. Is that right? I told some other day that Adam had must have been, bound to have been, a white man, because a black man would turn loose a rib back quick anyhow. Amen. But anyhow, we look here, my friends, and we find that he took this rib and he made this woman, and he gives her to him as a helpmate, as a companion. Yes, sir. Now what happened? The devil comes to the weaker vessel. Come on now. Amen. Women get the idea that I hate women. No, my mother's one, a married one, no mates is one. Amen. I don't hate women. I just believe everybody ought to be in their place. Is that right? Come on. And the devil didn't come to Adam, the stronger vessel, but he came to the weaker vessel, and he beguiled her, and she believes the devil's lie. What happened? She partakes, my friends, of the tree that God told them not to eat of, and now she's cast out. What about Adam? He hasn't done a thing. He's still in the state of innocency. He hasn't committed one crime, told one lie. No, sir. But I tell you, he's got time to think this deal over. And he said to himself, the only way I can get this woman back is to go where she is. And so he made his mind up to do that. And well knowing what he was doing, he went to her estate. Now, one day I read the Bible, how that the Bible says that the first Adam is a type, a shadow of the last Adam. I said, how could that be? The first Adam was a rebel, and so on and so forth. But I get into the thing, and it's a real blessing if you see it now. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ has never committed a sin, never told a lie, never pulled a crooked deal. You and I was the transgressors, that right? I'll tell you, well knowing what he was doing, he left heaven, my friend, came to this sin-cursed world, and found us in our terrible estate, and paid the price that he might get us back. I might illustrate with a story that many of you preachers have told, no doubt through the years, of the little boy that took a little model boat and he assembled it, put it together, went down to the stream, put the little boat in the strait. But the water was more swift than he thought, and he washed his little boat away. Some days later, coming home from school, in the picture window of a store, he saw his little boat. They said that little fellow ran in and told the merchant, "That's mine. That's mine." The merchant said, "Well, son, I bought it from another little boy and I gave him a dollar for it. You bring me my dollar and you can have it back." They said that little fella took off to the house, told mom and daddy his pathetic story. They gave him the dollar. The little boy ran to the store, gave it the dollar to the merchant, and the merchant went to the picture window and got the little boy's boat, handed it to him, and he heard the little fella say, "I made you, I lost you, I found you, and I bought you." Listen, my friends, God made us, God lost us, but I'm glad he found us, thank God, and he paid the price that we might be gained back. All right, now what happened? God steps on the scene. It was God that acts out the plan of salvation. Yes, sir. Adam and Eve made the coverings with their own hands. It didn't work, and yours won't work either. Mind it. But it was God that acted out the plan of salvation. The Bible said God went in the field, took an innocent beast and slew it, took the skin from that animal's back, made a covering for Adam and Eve. That's a picture of Calvary. In that thousands of years later, the innocent Son of God, I'll tell you, my friends, died, stripped of everything he had. God made a covering for you and I. And when we get to glory one of these days, I will be there because of love. Amen? Amen. I was coming down the highway some time ago, and some disc jockey had found an old Stamps Baxter quartet record. I mean, one of those made back in the 30s. And he began to play that thing. And I'll tell you, I had to park the car. Bless God. He began to sing, "Justice Called, But Mercy Answered." Praise God, listen. One day when I was drifting too far from the shore, one day when I was alienated from God, one day when I was doomed and damned and blighted to spend eternity in the charred walls of hell, praise God, when justice called, mercy came to my rescue. Now God steps on the scene. He puts the curse out. He gives the serpent the curse. He puts the curse on the woman, the curse on the man, the curse on there. Now notice in verse 15. Let's look at it. And then I'm going to take off here 90 miles an hour. And I'm going to preach about 30 minutes. And I'm going to shut up and go to the house. And you can go where you want to. And I'll put in between then the woman between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise. Why didn't he say her heel? No, sir. Here's the proclamation that Christ is coming, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right. The devil said, if I could ever keep him being born, I've got it made. I've got it made. Now, the devil's war is not against God the Father in the Department of Justice. It's not against the Holy Spirit in the Department of Comfort, but his whole war is against Jesus Christ in the Department of Grace. Amen. So the devil said, if I could keep him from being born, I've got this thing made. Now then, come with me. Eve is about to bring forth a child. The devil begins to study the matter over. Now, wait a minute. He's got more sense than you and the whole crowd put together. He's got more sense than you and your mother-in-law and all the rest of them. Bless God. You could put the whole human race in one bag and the devil it out with the whole crowd. Is that right? Come on. So the devil said, I've got to study this deal over. And he said, now I've got it. I know what's going to happen. She'll bring forth a child and I'll pick the firstborn. And he said, I'll fix him up. Boy, he did. Old Cain was born. He was a wicked-minded. He wanted to worship, but he wanted to do it his way, huh? I was coming down the road one time, windows rolled down, trying to keep awake. Some hillbillies are framing the guitar and singing, it's my own life. I'm going to live it like I want to. I'm going to live it like I want to. I'm going to live it like I want to. I'm going to live it like I want to. I thought the record is hung up. But come to find out, that bird is hung up. Yes, sir. He is going to live his own life like he wanted to. Brother, you don't live to yourself nor die to yourself, huh? I'll tell you, Cain wanted to worship. He didn't want to do it God's way. And I'm afraid we got a lot of Canaanites like that this day and time. Is that right? There's a lot of folks that love to go to church their way, do it their way, act their way. They don't want to do it God's way. So what happened? We find, my friends, that Cain is wicked-minded. Next thing, he brings forth another child, and the devil got to watching that little boy. It wasn't long till he was making a blood sacrifice, and the devil said to old Cain, I wouldn't let him get by with it. So what happened? Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel, and now then the devil said, I got it made now. Jesus will not come through the seed of a wicked Cain. He cannot come through the seed of a dead Abel. I've got it made. But God hadn't chosen a Cain. I'll tell you, neither had he chosen Abel. I want you to know, my friends, the next thing. The Bible said Eve brought forth another child, and his name was Seth. And God said, there he is. Now then, what happened? The seed of Seth began to multiply, and the world began to grow. And so the devil said, I'll change my tactics. And what did he do? He polluted the whole human race. It wasn't long till everybody's a dipping, brooding, and two bros. It wasn't long till they're sucking on their lucky camel fields. It wasn't long, my friends, till they're doing the butterfly flutter and the grasshopper wiggle. It wasn't long till they're running to the hell holes and the dives, drinking hooded pole and tadpole. And the rest of it. The devil said, I've got it made now. Everybody's doing it, and everybody's got one. You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
I never seen such a time in my life. No, bless God, everybody ain't doing it, and everybody ain't got one. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
The devil said, everybody's in on it. Why, it looks like, my friends, that the majority of American people are drinking liquor this day and time. People don't care the thing about God. You hear every preacher comes to this platform, every preacher in this building. Bless God, Brother Odom, you know I'm telling the truth. You're one of the oldest preachers here. All of your ministry, you've been hearing men cry out, turn back to God. Turn back to God. Listen, I want to tell you, friends, people have been wicked all the time. It's getting worse all the time. I've never seen as many God-haters and cross-rejectors and as many queers in all my life as there are this day and time. Sex perverts on every hand. And some of that godless crowd said, you better not say anything about it. God have mercy, my friend. I'm going to preach on such as that till I fall in my shoes, bless God. I mean, God's been on a crowd against such things as this. We need a turning back to God. We need to repent. Everybody's in on sin, looks like. Things that we used to preach against, we sit down and watch it now. Come on. Don't you sit down and look at me like a female billy goat. You know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Even go to
I'll tell you. Yeah, go to
them. Yeah.
I remember when I was a boy, bless God, you didn't play ball on Sunday. Now everybody watches it. You didn't run stores and open stores on Sunday. If you did, you count as an infidel. Now everybody and his brother opens up and all the rest of us trade with him. Say amen right there. Yeah. You know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
I'll tell you, listen, we're living in the close now of age. Backslid on God. Hadn't got enough of the God on us to stir the fuzz on a gander snout. Amen. I'll tell you, backslid on God Almighty. I'll tell you, the devil said, I've got it made. Everybody's got one. Everybody's doing it. Everybody got him a motorboat. Everybody got him a hound dog. Everybody got him a bull there. Everybody's going there. They're doing this and they're doing that. No, they wasn't, honey. Oh, we on the backside of the desert. Bless God, there's a feller. Had his hammers and saws, and he is building a boat, glory to God, as long as almost 2 football fields.
Yeah.
And he's doing it God's way.
Yeah.
God told him the kind of dimensions and told him the kind of wood to use. And when God said a certain kind, I don't believe we'll let him run up there and grab him a poplar board or, bless God, a pine board. When God said, use something else, I believe he did it like God said.
Yeah.
Hey, come here a minute. Come here. I'll tell you something. I believe if he'd have put one board in there, that God told him not to use that thing, it'd have sunk as sure you're sitting there.
Yeah.
I believe that. The Bible said he built it and you couldn't tell the front end from the back end. That's a picture of salvation. Salvation doesn't have but one end to it. And that's the beginning end. It just starts and goes on forever. And forever. And forever. And on and on and on and on. It was as long as almost 2 football fields, had high as a 5-story building, had 3 floors in it, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said it didn't have a one door. There wasn't but one way in. And if you ever go to heaven, you'd have to go God's way, and that's through the one door, the Savior. The Bible said it was pitched to the in and pitched to the out. There wasn't nothing to get in and there wasn't nothing to get out. Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Bless God, that crowd, they stood around and grumbled and fussed and said, look at that old fool.
Yeah.
Said, look at him.
Yeah.
God said, it's time to load up. Y'all comes giraffes, lions, tigers, polecats, hound dogs, rhinoceroses. How you say that? Hippopotamuses. Bless God, I believe everything there, I mean here, had an ancestor there. Is that right?
Yes.
That crowd is a watch. I don't wonder what Huntley and the Brinkley would have said on that deal. I wonder what Margaret would have said. Woo-hoo! Some of you look like, bless God, you're sick or got a bad case of worms. Amen. Trying to say that crowd stood there and watched God's man, and brother, he is loading up. But what really got their attention when he got inside that thing, and the invisible hand from glory reached down and God shut the door.
Yeah.
Woo, that got their attention. I tell you, they stood around and said, what's my, that old fool's been in there now 5 days. He's been in there now 6 days. 7 days and 7 nights he's in there. All of a sudden, the lightning played across the sky like a snake's forked tongue, and the thunder began to roll. And the Bible said, God opened up the windows of heaven, said, you open up the bowels of the earth, and the waters began to gush out. And that godless crowd said, surely, surely, he's not right, but he was. And when the water got to the tops of the hills, and there's a climbing to the tops of the hills and climbing ladders, getting on top of buildings, the water was still coming 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Why? He is right.
Yeah.
I tell you, God's always got somebody to stand for him. You say, what about old Doodle Digger up here in the institution, denies the blood? I can't help that. God's still got some preachers standing for him. You say these infidels and God haters and Christ rejectors all over America. That's right. But God has still got somebody that's a standing for him. I want to tell you, I believe one of these mornings, hallelujah to God, when the angel stands with 1 foot upon the land and one on the sea and raises his hand and swears the time shall be no more. I believe there'll be somebody somewhere that's standing for God. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Say, well, if we get the wrong man president of the United States, I'm staying with God anyhow. Yeah. You say, well, if the United States goes down, I'm going up. Don't worry about Willie, honey. Fella said to me, I just want you for revival. I said, I'm booked up to 88. Well, he said, well, if I book you then, and said, well, if the Lord comes, I said, you run it. I'll be gone. Amen! Bless God. Listen, God had a man. Now then, what's the devil? The devil said, I got to do something. Through one of the sons of Noah is going to come Christ. I've got to do something. So I don't know how he picked old Ham out. He might have said, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch old Ham with a toe," for all I know. Did you get that? Yeah. Amen. Listen, now he picked out old Ham. Yes, he did. Now then, there's two other sons, Shem, and Japheth. Now, God hadn't chosen Ham. Neither had God chosen Japheth. But he said, I'm going to choose Shem. Now what happened? Devil went back to one of his old tactics. It wasn't long till it was all back to the same thing. Doing the butterfly flutter and the grasshopper wiggle. They done got him a hula hoop. They done got up their short shorts on. I'll tell you this, done down the hell holes, drinking Teddy Pole and Hootie Pole and all the rest of it. I'll tell you, friends, they're living it up. Chewing their backer and dipping their tubros. I never say nothing about tubros. I don't see somebody reason to go like that. This preacher said he was standing at home one time. He said that's a snuff dippin' as much you ever stayed around in his life. Man, he said they had coffee cans sitting every 10 foot. And his two brothers and a sister. And he said, brother, they dipped snuff and chewed tobacco and they'd spit, but they never missed that can. He said a dead ringer every time. He said one old fella's nasty, the oldest brother, he was nasty with. And he didn't blow it. But he said he'd get to that can somehow. He said the other brother was a little nicer than his. He'd chew his out. That little keen stream would go and hit that JFG coffee can. And he said the old lady'd sit there and she was real nice and she'd wipe the corners of her mouth, but when she got ready, she'd go. But he said they didn't miss. Dead ringer every time. He said one morning about 2 o'clock he woke up, he wanted to drink a water so bad he couldn't stand it. But said he's afraid to get out of the bed. Afraid there'd be a coffee can sitting somewhere. He said, I laid down and thought if I just had a small glass of water. Then he said, I got thinking about a big glass of water. Then I got thinking about a pitcher full of water. Then he said, I got thinking about wells and creeks and cisterns and springs and creeks and branches and lakes. And finally, he said, I was in the ocean, slam up to my neck, want water. He said, I finally made my mind up, coffee cans or no coffee cans, I've got to have water. And he said, he got out of the bed. And he began to ease along, ease his foot out like that. And then he'd take another step and right easy-like. He'd ease along trying to feel his way. And he said he never stayed there before in his life. He finally made it to the kitchen and said to his good fortune, he opened that refrigerator and there sat a nice glass of water. He said that light come on and half blinded, but he could make it out. There's a nice glass of water. Said he reached and got it and went to drink it. He was about to die for water. By that time, he was getting his eyesight. And said all of a sudden, he leapt. And right in the bottom of that vase is that old woman's false teeth. Said, I'll pollute the whole human race. It wasn't long that there's all a doing it, and all of them had one. Everybody's got one. Here they are. Devil said, I got it made now, but I got news for you. Everybody wasn't out in sin, because about that time, out of the Earl of the Chaldees, come a fellow looking for a city, which hath a foundation whose builder and maker is God. Yes, sir. Devil said, I'll fix him up. And so what? Old Sarah's about 90, Abraham's about 100, and they don't have any children. The Bible said Abraham was counted as dead, Sarah's past age to conceive and bring forth a child. But I've got news for you, my friend. If God tells you something, believe it. Amen. It may look like an impossibility. It may look like God's dead and gone out of business, but if God tells you, just believe it. And out of something that was dead, God resurrected a child. Yes, he did. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, there's three things out of that story that blesses me. There's three things you need to put.
You've been listening to Brother Billy Kelly, Dr. Billy Kelly. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope you'll search out more of his materials and information about him and his messages wherever you find them on YouTube, and you'll be blessed by hearing Brother Kelly.